And so on we go. So the kids are on the decline. Kids are increasingly defiant. And I remember thinking, if we can just keep them alive until 18, they'll go off to university. That's my goal. They're going to go off to university, and they're going to get an education, and then they're going to be motivated to get their lives together, and it's all going to work out. So all I have to do is keep them alive and get them in university. Son number one, off he goes. Fantastic. It's working. Son number two didn't go that way. He was not super keen on going to high school, so would skip. Any of you out there get the calls? This might be the wrong crowd, I don't know, but those attendance line phone calls at 6:01 p.m., a person in your home has missed one or more classes today. The phone would ring at 6:01, and eventually we just like would pick it up and hang it up. We knew what it was. We gave up, and there's all kinds of excuses given. While I was bending down to pick up a pencil, and the teacher didn't see me. That boy's in the room, by the way. He's the good-looking one if you're trying to find him. I am his mother, still. Yeah, so we were starting to realize things weren't going so well for son number two, and so I did what a good mom does and a good Al-Anon does. I called all his teachers and rearranged his schedule so that he could have study time, because that's what he needed. He needed a little more study time. And I think back to those teachers, and they must have just been like, This woman has no idea what's going on. And the denial, I mean, oh my gosh, the denial. And so, yeah, so he got through high school. And then things seriously started to decline. Things were going downhill fast, to the point where we had tried everything. My husband and I had maneuvered and done backflips, and we tried anger, we tried buddy-buddy, we tried reason, we tried emotional manipulation. I mean, we tried everything. I signed him up for school. I mean, I did everything. And I remember being on the phone with a girlfriend and saying, what's wrong? And I said, my greatest fear is that he's not going to go to post-secondary school. And he's going to live with us forever. And that was honestly that. I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea what I should have been afraid of, honestly. I really didn't know. So the denial. And that fall, I remember my husband and I, we finally got, so we said, you know what, we need to tell him that he needs to move out, but first we'll give him a vehicle to live in. And he's going to realize within a few days that we were right, and that he had it really well, you know, really good here, and that life is hard out there, and he'll come back and say, you were right, Mom and Dad, and I'm ready now to do what you're asking me to do. We were serious, and so we had the conversation. We said, you know, you need to go, and he was like, he looked relieved. So he looks like he's doing all right. My husband and I are crying, and we're packing up food, and we're giving him money, and he takes it all in his arms, and he goes, and he gets in the vehicle, and he drives away. Now I got to follow him. Now I'm driving around the city looking for the vehicle, and when I find it, I'm peering in the windows, and I'm banging on the doors, and I'm trying to get him back. Because it wasn't working. He wasn't coming back. He wasn't saying you were right. He was slipping further and further into his disease. And we were losing him in a serious way. And now I'm really scared. Now I could care less about post-secondary school now. Now I'm terrified. And I remember talking to someone, I remember saying, this is what's going on. This was somebody, a professional that we hired. We paid an awful lot of money to an awful lot of people for help. And we'd hired this company to come and do an intervention. And when we were still in the planning phase of this, I remember saying, I'm not sure he's an addict. I'm not sure he's got a problem. I couldn't say it. Like, I just couldn't admit it. And I remember this person saying, okay, quit trying to figure it out. It doesn't matter. Are things going well? I said, no. Things are not good. Okay, let's start there. So we did an intervention and we decided, because he was 18 now, that we needed to isolate him on the other side of the country. Trap him into treatment. So we'll get him trapped on the other side of the country and we'll take away his identification and his money, and he won't be able to come home, which will mean that he will eventually embrace treatment and they will cure him.